Welcome back to the Saturday Show. Right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're doing well on this Saturday morning. Michelle Bodkin, Jay Catch along for the ride. Let's talk some college hoops. Of course, he is the proprietor of KenPom.com. He's a hoop head, just a college basketball analytics guru. He is Ken Pomeroy joining us here on the Saturday Show. Ken, what's up?
Hey. Hey, Jake. Not much. Another fun weekend of college hoops, although I guess today college football kind of takes precedence. But we're gearing up for college hoop season.
Well, okay, let me just insert this, Ken. You know, locally, obviously college football during the fall typically takes a lot of the headlines away from the college basketball scene. But when you have it right now, we've got a ranked Utah women's basketball team and then a ranked BYU men's basketball team. I've got to say, just at least the attention early on in the season here locally, it's up from what it typically is in my mind. Are you seeing that yourself from your perspective?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I mean, I wouldn't sleep on the Utah men's team either. Like, they've got off to a really solid start and kind of vectoring towards, next weekend's Utah BYU game, which should be one of the more anticipated Utah BYU games in quite some time. So, also obviously BYU not going to a bowl game themselves creates a little more space in the news cycle. So that helps a lot too.
Speaking of the Utah men, what are you seeing from them early on that maybe they haven't been doing in years past that gives you hope that they might be on an upward trajectory?
Well, the offense just looks a lot more crisp. Certainly getting Brandon Carlson back was huge for them. You know, just a big that can also space the floor. And when their offense is clicking, they have a lot of size on the floor and that size can shoot, whether it's Brandon Carlson or Cole Badgema, and then obviously probably Worcester with some size at the point guard position. It's a really fun offense to watch when it's clicking. And I think, Craig Smith finally has the pieces in place to really do what he wants to do offensively. And, defense was always solid, or at least it was solid last year and still pretty good this year. But the missing piece was really the shooting and the volume of shooting. And, both of those things are working out so far for the Utes, and they're going to obviously need that to continue to be to have a successful season.
Yeah, I wanted to ask just about Utah. From watching them, it feels like they got some good continuity going. You mentioned Brandon Carlson coming back, and that cannot be overstated how big that was to get him back for Craig Smith. But do your metrics, when you run these numbers, season to season, does the roster in particular, like holdover rosters, does that affect the numbers to a large degree, or is there any way to quantify that?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the situation. When I do the preseason ratings, who's coming back does make a difference, but transfers make a difference too. I mean, it's just kind of overall talent. It does seem like all things being equal, you'd rather have roster stability than bringing in talent from the outside. Again, assuming that talent is equal to what you might be losing, there's just a loss of you got to teach new guys the system, and I think in the sport of basketball that's pretty critical, and it takes time. And so the continuity is good. You don't want to necessarily rely on a team of entirely transfers. If you can keep three or four key guys and bring in one or two key guys off the transfer portal, it's a recipe for success. And, certainly age, I think, is a recipe for success as well, at least right now. And in the case of both Utah and BYU, they're both pretty old teams and experienced teams. And so that helps as well.
Kind of speaking of BYU, it felt like a lot of people didn't give them any stock. But if I'm understanding correctly, your numbers were showing that they had the potential to actually be pretty good this year, and especially in a conference like the Big 12, where they're a little more notorious for basketball play. What are your numbers kind of picking up on that kind of clued you in that BYU was going to be legit? And is this something that you feel like they can kind of keep pace on as they transition to conference play?
Well, Michelle, the main thing was that, first of all, they brought a lot of people back. I mean, they brought back almost their entire roster, which, was maybe a little bit unusual considering the season they had last year. It wasn't a great season, obviously. So to bring everybody back was unusual, but it's worked out so far. The other thing that was interesting was last year was, as I mentioned, a disappointing year, but You know, they finished sub 500 in league, which wasn't good. However, when you looked at their point differential in league, it was actually the best in at least the last quarter century of any team in college basketball that had a losing conference record. So it's a little bit of a backhanded compliment, but bottom line was, when you look at their you know, individual games last year, I mean, they were in those games with Gonzaga and St. Mary's. You know, those games were coming down the wire, and when they beat teams, they were usually beating them pretty easily. So, you know, it wasn't a great season by any means, but it was a lot better than I think people realize. And then, you know, on top of that, to bring guys back, you know, to get Kevin Nell back, who didn't play last year, you know, that all kind of added to the fact that, yeah, BYU could probably hold its own. I, you know, coming into the season, I was not really concerned about how they'd play, like, say, at home in Big 12 play. You know, that's going to be a really tough win for road teams, but really, could they get wins on the road? And I think that's still the question. I mean, BYU has been absolutely awesome so far, but, you know, you watched, like, last night, UConn playing at Kansas, and UConn kind of hanging in that game the whole way. And UConn's an incredible team, and you try to, you know, think, could BYU do that? Could they hang in that, you know, in that hostile environment for 40 minutes? And, you know, I'm not so sure it's going to be quite that easy for them. Not as easy as it's looked so far. But I do think they're a tournament team, and that, you know, that should be the goal now, obviously. You've got to definitely readjust here. And not making the tournament probably a disappointment the way things have started so far.
Ken Pomeroy joining us here on the Saturday show. Of course, you can go to kenpom.com and get all of his numbers. I know that there are thousands of people that check it out on a daily basis. But, Ken, you talked about BYU. You think they should be a tournament-caliber team. There's number six in your ratings right now. And you mentioned the fact that you're wondering, okay, can they hang with the likes of a Kansas for 40 minutes? And what is it? What is the Big 12 as a whole doing right now? Because they've got, I think, if it's not my mistake, six teams currently ranked. I know that bracketology is kind of ridiculous at this point in the season, but there's current bracketology projections that have 10 Big 12 teams in the NCAA tournament field. How good is this conference looking like it's going to be?
Well, it is the best conference in the country. It's ranked as the best conference in the country in my ratings for 8 of the last 10 years. And the 2 years where it didn't, it was second. So
okay.
It's been this, like, long-term pattern of dominance. And even with, you know, the addition of the new teams this season and then, you know, more teams next season, you know, it's still tracking to easily be the best conference in the country. I mean, it really, it's like kind of craft a little joke on Twitter, but it feels like, you know, instead of the Power Six right now, it was really a super power one, which is the Big 12. And then the other, you know, the other five conferences, because there's a huge gap between the Big 12 and whatever you think the second best conference is, which isn't really clear. And, you know, that's going to make things fun. I mean, every conference game at the Marriott Center should be a tremendous environment. And, you know, the top of the league with Houston and Baylor and Kansas is stacked. And the middle of the league is very strong. I mean, you know, a team like Texas right now is, you know, rated as the 8th best team in the Big 12 in my system. So that's you know, that gives you some idea. But there's also some teams at the bottom that I think are clearly teams that, you know, BYU should feel like, you know, they should handle at home and even have a chance of beating on the road, like West Virginia and Oklahoma State. Those are two teams that have really gotten off to, you know, bad starts. West Virginia had a tumultuous offseason where obviously they replaced their coach and they had a lot of roster turnover. So, you know, it's not all heavy hitters in the conference, but you can say that about every league. I mean, the bottom line is from the middle on up, the Big 12 was easily the best conference in the country.
Jumping over to the Pac-12, you know, where are you seeing them kind of fit into the college basketball scene? And what is Utah going to have to do in order to be a potential team going dancing this year?
Yeah, and the Pac-12 is, you know, in that group of those other five leagues where, you know, you could make a case for any of those, I guess, five conferences as being like the second or third best league in the country. It's, you know, still non-conference play left to go to sort of sort that out. But the conference is, you know, led by Arizona. I mean, they clearly distinguish themselves as the best team in the league, and certainly they have a case of being the best team in the country. I mean, that's a team that at this point has national championship goals. So there's Arizona, who's clearly number one. And then after that, it's, you know, it's pretty wide open. I mean, UCLA has been pretty disappointing this year. You know, just coming off a 1-point win against UC Riverside, which, I hate to break it to you, but it's not a college basketball powerhouse right now. So, you know, you don't have that traditional power lurking. USC, they'll get Bronny James back here pretty soon. That should help. Isaiah Collier, the great freshman point guard, like that, you know, he's been playing well so far. But again, that's kind of an imperfect team that has had ups and downs. Colorado is supposed to be kind of a borderline top 25 team this year. And they kind of look like that, but they certainly haven't excelled. And, you know, as you get further down the list, Oregon's kind of disappointed. Washington's actually been all right this year, but I still have them only ranked 58. So, you know, I got Utah at 33 right now, which is the third best rating in the league. So, so there's potential here for the Utes. I mean, I feel like, you know, I was kind of singing this song last year as well. I mean, they are definitely more under the radar than BYU because they have a couple of losses, but they played very well. And, you know, again, I feel like Craig Smith, you know, in year three, finally kind of has everything in place where he wants it, has the roster he needs to, you know, compete at a higher level. And so, you know, again, with BYU, I feel like if they don't make the tournament at this point, it's a disappointment. With Utah, we're not quite at that phase yet, but they certainly, you know, should be contending for a tournament berth this year.
I wanted to ask you about the Mountain West because obviously BYU and Utah were former members of that conference. Utah State's in there right now. The Aggies are off to a 6-1 start. They got a new staff with Danny Sprinkle running things, and they got a whole new cast of characters in terms of their roster. What is the Mountain West looking like conference-wise this year? Because it's always been a fairly strong conference in terms of basketball. And then where do the Utah State Aggies fit in your mind?
Yeah, the Aggies have been a great story as well. I mean, really, college basketball in the state of Utah is in a pretty good spot right now. As you mentioned, new staff at Utah State, entirely new roster,
yeah.
Literally an entirely new roster. And didn't really know what to expect out of them, but just off to an outstanding start at 6-1, just the one loss in overtime on the road to Bradley. They haven't played like a super difficult schedule, but they also haven't played a bunch of bye games. Like it's, you know, teams that they could lose to and, you know, they performed pretty well so far. So so the Aggies are an interesting story. The conference itself is, once again, quite good. Maybe not necessarily that marquee team like last year. You know, we had San Diego State going to the national title game. But Colorado State has been, I guess, probably the big story in the league where, you know, there wasn't a ton expected out of them. They did have Isaiah Stevens coming back, fifth-year point guard for them. But CSU's off to a 7-0 start. Just got off beating Colorado in Fort Collins this week. Really rose to fame by beating Creighton by about 20 2 weeks ago. So that vaulted them into the AP top 25. So CSU, if we reevaluate, might be the favorite right now in the Mountain West. San Diego State is still really solid, although they narrowly avoided a pretty embarrassing upset last night.
They got a pretty thoroughly buzzer beater, right?
Yeah, Jaden Ledee, who has really emerged for them as a big-time scorer in the post, got an offensive rebound and layup with no time left to win a game where they trailed by 15 with about 7 minutes to play. So San Diego State's still pretty good. That wasn't their best outing. I was at the Solomon at the Marriott Center, and they gave BYU a pretty good game. So, you know, CSU, San Diego State, those are your top two teams. And you still have, you know, Nevada and New Mexico and Boise State, who all look like teams that, you know, again, are going to be kind of on the bubble down the stretch, but teams that have aspirations to make the tournament. And the Aggies could be right in there. I mean, they're kind of a mystery team right now because I don't think we expected them to get off to such a good start. But, you know, certainly from what we've seen of them so far, like, they're going to be a factor in the Mountain West race as well.
So, Ken, hopefully I'm not putting you too much on the spot with this one, but talking about the state of college basketball here in Utah, it feels a little remiss to not also bring up the women, both Utah and BYU, especially Utah. They've kind of had a bit of a rise. You know, how much have you kind of watched that side of things, and what do you make of the women's game currently?
Well, it is tough for me to follow the women's game just because the men's game is a full-time job. It is great to see, you know, the success that the local teams are having. I think particularly like the style of play of the Utah women's team is pretty exciting. And obviously the women's game in general is, you know, just really rising to prominence and getting so much more visibility, which is awesome. I mean, I obviously really enjoyed the NCAA tournament last year. I wish, I guess my one regret about women's basketball is that I wish we could separate the postseason somehow between the women's and the men. Like, you know, it's them being run at the same time makes it pretty difficult to get fully invested in both of them. But yeah, it's great to see. I mean, you know, I think the talent level of the sport is also getting much better. And certainly with NIL, it's a little more unique, I think, in the women's games because the professional side of things is not as well developed or maybe viewed by the public. And so it does seem like in the women's game, the college side of things is like truly the pinnacle of the sport right now, which is, you know, when I was growing up, I felt like that's not kind of how the men's game was. And so I'm a little jealous of the women's side that they're able to enjoy that kind of attention.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Ken, appreciate you taking some time to join us here on the show. Keep up the good work. I'm constantly referring back to your numbers to try and quantify what I'm seeing on the court. So appreciate all your hard work, and we'll be catching up with you throughout the upcoming hoop season because, as you mentioned, it looks like locally we're going to have a pretty good year in terms of college basketball.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yep, should be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.